Boston's Home for Sports. Boston's Home for Sports. It's just a command away.
Open your mouth.
Just ask your smart speaker to play. Play 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Oh, I need one of those.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome to the 2014 NHL Awards, featuring David Boreanaz, Kevin Connolly, Whoopi Goldberg, Cuba Gooding Jr., James Lipton, Retta, Pia Toscano, Michael Vartan, David Walton, with special appearances by Jabberwockies, Mud is Yahoo, Philip Phillips.
98.5, the Sports Hub, with Toucher and Rich.
The James Lipton fans were out of their mind when they found out he was going to be part of the NHL Awards.
At least I have heard of him.
Well, that's like a, now looking back, that's like a A-list affair right there.
Yeah, the NHL Awards, instead of just going, all right, we can't get anybody, they go, all right, let's get anybody who will come out. I mean, you could easily just go Wayne Gretzky, Bobby Orr. I mean, like, you could just have
honest
hockey
to God,
players.
Some of the greatest players in the history of the game are not only just living, but they have their mental faculties. They can go out and read from a prompter. I mean, this is not hard. Hockey is a great game. It's theoretically one of the four greatest sports in this country. It's the greatest sport in Canada, and this is the best they can do?
Although, didn't they try that a couple years ago, and it ended up having, I forget who it was, it was some NHL legend, just talking about Ali Raisman's legs.
Yeah, he was hitting on a guy. He was hitting on someone. I remember this.
He was like, look at these legs!
I'm thinking
Marcel Dion.
Okay, despite that.
By the way, it wasn't as egregious, in my opinion, as everyone made it out to be.
Well, I mean, it was funny because, you know, people did freak out about it, but Ali Raisman even came out because he was just trying to compliment me. And he's an older gentleman, so we know what sometimes they...
Yeah, he was just like, hey, look at these legs. They're nice.
Sure, but last night, now granted, it was 2 hours long. First of all, you knew it was a high-quality affair because it's one of those things that was recorded earlier and edited for television. When they came out at the beginning and there was this big opening thing, and when they showed the crowd, when they came back live, you heard like this wild applause, yet you just see in the audience a bunch of hockey players and their wives and girlfriends just politely sitting there and no one is clapping.
Right.
Like they're just pumping in fake crowd noise to make it sound like it's a bigger affair than it actually is.
That's exactly what they do with the Grammys.
But if you want to get started... If you want to get started with a bang, here's how you open up the NHL Awards.
Welcome to the 2018 NHL Awards live from Las Vegas. Tonight is going to be a spectacular night celebrating hockey. I'm Darcy Oak, and I am a magician.
Anytime the host has to tell you what they do for a living.
No, it gets worse. He has a big role in this thing later that he screwed up, Fred.
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Just when he goes, there's two bad things about that. Is A, saying what you do for a living, and two, that being a magician.
Right.
I stand before you, John Wallach, right. Magician.
Yep, that's right. You'd think I'd go for this act, but I didn't.
He pulled a John Wallach there.
Yeah.
There's no Blackstone.
Which is phenomenal, which is great. All right. So, and then, you know, things moved on. And the host got bigger and bigger as you went. Let's take a listen to this.
Please welcome comedian and impressionist Terry Fader and his next door neighbor, Dougie.
Okay, out walks a man with a puppet.
Okay. Having to say what the man does for a living. I have to meet who puts this together.
Fred.
And doesn't just say, let's eat it. Like, let's just not do this.
Now, there goes a man with a puppet, and they will be giving away, it was like a major award.
No, he presented the Norris Trophy, Fred.
Yeah,
this guy presented the Norris Trophy. Fred. So Victor Hedman, who won the thing, had to go up and shake the hand of a ventriloquist.
Yeah, so they're giving away the Norris Trophy, and here comes a man with a puppet. As he sits out on stage, but at least they, you know, brought their A material.
Please welcome comedian and impressionist Terry Fader and his next door neighbor, Dougie.
I'm Terry Fader,
and I'm Dougie Scott Walker. Woo!
That's his puppet talking.
Yeah, they're very similar voices.
Tim, one said woo loudly.
Yeah. Not a lot of difference.
No, there was an exercise where the voices were different.
Okay, because at first, I'm not, maybe it's the pressure of being on such a nationally.
Imagine working like your entire life and like your dream was, you know, to win a Stanley Cup and to win the Norris Trophy. And then when you get up there, it's handed to you by a guy with a puffin.
Yeah.
And then you just realize where you stand in the whole pantheon of like where the sports are, what they're thought of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, okay, well, there's baseball, basketball, soccer, and then
you can't get anyone but a ventriloquist.
Right. You couldn't even afford Jeff Dunham.
Yeah. They should have just said, at Las Vegas's most highly rated escort, Raven.
I'm Terry Fader.
And I'm Dougie Scott Walker. Woo! Party on, NHL! Yeah!
Well, that's relevant. Party on, Garth.
Sure.
Party on, Wayne. So the puppet,
they were Blackhawks fans, I guess.
But the puppet is a, yeah, they were. They wore the sweaters. So the audience can't get enough. They're eating it all up.
Riveted. And then they would like show like a shot of like Daniel Sedin sitting there with no smile on his face.
So the idea is that the puppet is a party animal.
Yeah, he's crazy. I got this crazy neighbor, the puppet, who's just driving me nuts.
He had the soul patch. The puppet was rocking the soul patch underneath his mouth.
The Lord
crazy.
Knows that speaks of great anarchy. Adam 12 is sitting there going, yep.
I didn't know you were a hockey fan.
Oh, dude, I am such a fan. I even wrote a song about my Golden Knights.
Wait, you wrote a song about the Golden Knights?
Yeah.
You want to sing it?
Hey, let's do this, dude. I see rain.
I'm not differentiating. I can't differentiate the voices.
Well, you have to see it because when one voice goes, the puppet's head moves. That's how you know.
Yeah, they're very similar voices.
It's very cerebral.
Isn't the whole idea that it's a different voice?
Pretty much.
It'll change. There was a singing exercise. I don't know if we're going to get to it, but there was a singing exercise.
It sounds like they were different.
They're
about to do it.
I see rinks of ice pucks flying too. I see goals scored for me and for you.
Okay, you sing. Okay.
I see Golden Knights. Banners are unfurled. Vegas is living in a Stanley Cup world.
Louis Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen.
But they lost the Stanley Cup, so I don't care if they won
85 Stanley Cups in a row.
I can't believe. I mean, this is as good as it gets right now for the NHL Awards.
They had a puppeteer.
Yep.
On
a magician and a puppeteer.
Yeah, but like, where does this? Well, look up where this puppeteer is performing.
Fader's in Vegas, guy.
Okay, so
okay, fine. But what hotel?
Oh, okay.
Mirage.
All right,
he's Mirage. But he won America's Got Talent. I was told that last night on Twitter.
You have to be told that because no one knew that.
Right. You know what? Number three is so aggravating. I don't even want to play it.
Well, I want to hear it. If it's aggravating. I want to hear it.
Who? Were these? What hockey players were these? So it was the EA Sports big reveal that they were going to do for the cover of EA Sports.
By the way, this came after they did a nice tribute about Parkland, Florida. And Roberto Luongo lived in Parkland. And it was really well done. Yeah, it was about 10 minutes of what the Florida Panthers did in the community. And then they followed it up with this.
Who is this? Because it's two hockey players coming out doing characters.
Oh, I didn't even know they were hockey players.
I don't know who they are. I honestly don't
know
who
they were. I thought they were comedians pretending to be like...
Okay.
The whole thing about the EA Sports game is
this. If they're comedians, and this is even worse, because I thought it was just like, oh, there's these two hockey players that are kind of funny, and they're doing a skit, and then it would be just kind of weird. But if these are comedians...
I thought they were.
Okay, let's take a listen.
Two of the greasiest hockey players to ever strap on steel. Please welcome Ollie Postonen and Jacob Bardow.
Hey, boys. It's me, Ollie. We have something special for you guys tonight.
That's right, boys.
Jacob, why don't you tell them what we're doing here?
Well, boys, we're here to reveal the new EA Sports NHL 19. That's not, I think that's supposed to mean Chell, boys. All the beauties, they call it Chell. So yeah, the new Chell game.
That's right, boys. They tossed in some beauty new features, so now you can see what it's like to grow up as a Canadian, twist and twig all the way to the top.
Dude, I don't know what's happening.
Like, they're like being stereotypical.
It's like Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Yeah, no, it was a complete ripoff of that.
But you see, I thought, are these like two like hockey guys I don't know, and they're like doing characters, or are they like what the hell was
maybe
going on last
night? Maybe the puppeteer came out.
Well, the puppeteer, of course, you know, he had things to say.
I'm Darcy Oak, and I am a magician.
that's when you know you're kicking things off the right way. Now it's time to bring out the big stars.
All right, let's take a break, and because I need time to digest all of this. I'm Marcio, and I'm a magician.
Please welcome comedian and impressionist Terry Fader and his next door neighbor, Dougie.
Like, if you're at a party.
To give out a major award.
If you're at a party and someone says, I'm so and so and I'm a magician, you go, all right, it was nice seeing everyone. I'm leaving. Hey, look, my wallet makes flames. I don't know what's going on. Oh,
so I'm being told that those two guys are YouTube spoof guys.
Oh, nice.
They make these goofs and spoofs on YouTube.
Okay.
So they,
you know, some people like movie stars and rock stars, and other people like, you know, social network guys. He's got 100 followers on Twitter.
Where is Mr. Show Me the Money When You Need Him?
Not the key!
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Now, that seems like De Niro at this point.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fists this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I'm Darcy Oak, and I am a magician.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The NHL is the finest game to watch live in person. As John said, it's the number one sport in Canada.
It's been...
Which is a large continent, or a large country, or a continent, probably. A large country. It has footholds in the major cities in the north and northeast.
The ratings this year are better than, I think it's the best ratings in the last like 5 years. You've got great storylines as far as the Stanley Cup was concerned with what was happening in Vegas and, of course, the Washington Capitals and Ovechkin finally winning his cup. I mean, it was a successful year. And on paper, you would think to have an award show for something like the NHL, you would be able to get some sort of quality presenters.
There are a lot of hockey fans out there. I mean, there are guys that have played the game that are very good on television. I mean, where was Mike Milbury? Where's Jeremy Roenick? You could have either of those two guys do it.
They insist on having non-hockey players, and so far we've been greeted with a magician, a ventriloquist, and two YouTube guys.
Yep, which I'm now finding out right. They do, like, skits about, like, hey, we're dumb hockey guys
okay,
from Canada.
Fair enough, and it might be the funniest thing in the world, but
still
it's not...
YouTube. Not yeah, really. YouTube star.
It's not, yeah, it's not anyone of any relevance to anyone.
But if you want someone who is of relevance to someone, they did bring out somebody who was a superstar, and it leads into what might have been one of the more ridiculously, I don't want to say disrespectful, but just like things couldn't have gone much worse. Let's take a listen.
She's a Washington Capitals super fan.
Oh, yeah, okay. I know who this is.
You know who's coming?
Old school Wonder Woman.
Is she the only Washington Capitals super fan other than Pat Sajak, who just rambled on TV for like 2 minutes?
Apparently Sajak and her kind of take the cake.
She's a Washington Capitals super fan. The original Wonder Woman, Linda Carter.
Right now, we are going to have a Stanley Cup celebration for all of you. Welcome back our NHL Master of Illusion, Darcy Oak.
Okay, so you couldn't get enough of Darcy Oak.
Hold on.
He's back.
He's the NHL's Master of Illusion.
Yeah.
Now the NBA's Master of Illusion. He's somewhere else.
Right.
The NFL's master of illusion is he's in right now in Guam. So what we have the NHL's master of illusion.
Okay, so at this point, this guy is set up. The magician is standing in the middle of the crowd, and he has a table in front of him, and he is there to present the Selke Award. But before he does the Selke Award, you have a magician giving away one of the most important awards of the NHL.
Sure.
So he's giving out the Selke Award, but before he does that, he's going to do a card trick. An actual televised card trick, all right? So he sits there.
By the way, they couldn't get David Blaine. And like, if you're going to go, like, dumb magicians, like, at least get Chris Angel.
Sure, the Mind Freak or something. Like, at least that guy had a TV show.
Yeah.
So he starts doing a card trick, and he goes, our first nominee for the Selke is, and he pulls a card out of his sleeve, and it's Patrice Bergeron. It's a picture of Patrice Bergeron, puts at the table, who his number, and he gets his card deck and puts out the top two cards, 3 and 7, 37. And they're like, ooh. So he's playing out all these cards with all these different people, and he goes, and the winner is, and this is the big moment supposed to blow you away, and he takes the card deck and shuffles it, and when he turns it around, it looks like it's part of a picture. So imagine if you took a picture of Anze Kopitar and put it in like 8 cards, almost like when you had baseball cards and you're a kid, you could flip them over, and it would make a big, but when he put them out, like, nothing was in the right spot.
It was all
the
confused.
The elbow was where the foot was supposed to be. The face was near the thing.
He completely blew the trick.
You couldn't tell who it was. He blew the trick on TV.
He completely blew it. The picture, which was supposed to come out in sequence, and it was 9 cards. It was supposed to make one big picture of Anze Kopitar, was completely mixed up.
So sitting next to him is Anze Kopitar. And he's looking. He's like, did I win? He's like looking over his shoulder. Is that me? And then he's like, oh, I guess it is. And the
it's
guy
drawn by Picasso.
And then the guy finally had to go, Anze Kopitar. And then the guy just like completely blew off the magician, just walk up the stage.
The best point, no, you
Van Gogh, your eyes are in your shoe.
He didn't even get the card trick right.
No, he blew the card trick. Let's make sure we get the sequence right. He blew the card trick. He was deliberately standing. The table was right next to Anze Kopitar, so that when Kopitar stood up, he could shake the magician's hand. The magician put out his hand for a handshake, and Kopitar was like, no, you just completely screwed that up, and blew him off and walked up the aisle to get like, the award.
Kopitar's looking at the cards like, did I win? I can't figure out who this is a picture of.
So they got a hack magician.
Yeah.
Which is bad enough, and then he couldn't even do the trick.
Correct. He couldn't do the trick.
He couldn't do a common card
trick. A card trick. He couldn't finish a card trick on TV.
Well, in fairness, I mean, he was the pressure of being in front of that NHL Awards. Oh, boy, they're just showing it now.
Yeah. Dude, look, it's like nothing was in the right spot.
No, his shoes are upside down.
Yeah. It's amazing. Kopitar's head is where his like crotch should
be. That's right. His body is upside down in the middle. It's great.
Oh, my God, is that bad.
Yeah.
They got nothing right.
I told you, they completely messed up the card trick. And Anze's, because the first thing, the first three cards that come out are just like the skates. So you can't even tell what jersey or what sweater the guy's wearing. So he's like, huh? Huh? And then finally, Anze just gets up like, all right, I guess that's me. And he goes, Anze Kopitar. And that was it. I mean, it was, dude, you had a failed card trick as the announcement of one of your biggest awards last night.
Now here's a rabbit.
And by the way, they brought back Darcy Oak. You know,
I'm Darcy Oak, and I am a magician.
He goes for the handshake. He's like,
he
didn't even finish it.
Because he tried to scramble the picture to make it look right. And finally, he's like, well, I guess I screwed that up. So there you go. And then he gets up, and the Darcy Oak magician puts his hand out, and he goes, no,
I don't think so.
You kind of blew that one up.
Yeah, I'm not going to really acknowledge that.
But listen, oh, and by the way, they brought back Darcy Oak, and he did another card trick on stage. I'm not kidding you. An on-stage award show card trick.
So it's like your weird uncle. That, like, you would sit at the table and
go, right. Like, something in your ear.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a quarter.
That'd be funny if you did that trick. And now, ladies and gentlemen, allow us to bring you David Backus. David, do you want to make a phone call? Huh?
Quarter is on top of that, these were tricks you've seen a million times before.
Yeah, he's like, brought the rings out and he's like, I don't know.
How are you going to get out of that? I got your nose.
Stick your finger into this device. it seems we've been attached.
So, listen, the stars kept on coming. They kept on coming. The voice you're going to hear here is, for some weird reason, they kept going back to some kid who was cute kid interviews like celebrities. And but he tossed it to some bigger stars, I think. Maybe this is the kids. Let's take a listen. No, this is something else.
To present the Mark Messier Leadership Award, the stars of the hit Canadian comedy, Letterkenny.
All right, you gotta not do that. By the way, as soon as you say hit Canadian comedy, you might as well just say irrelevant pile
of
garbage.
Not, you, if it's not Moose from You Can't Do That on Television, then I'm all out.
See, if you go you Trailer Park Boys on the people, at least that airs here.
This has got to be intentional if they do this every year. It has to be.
Like they just like say, how bad can we get it?
We're known for campiness. Let's make sure we make this as hacky as possible. That all these people, there are enough hockey fans.
Like Canadian humble.
Yeah, thing. It's like we can't possibly be like, good. We don't want to step out of bounds.
Like sure. You know, we don't want to. I can't do a Canadian accent, but we want to do nothing to you know upset anyone.
Oh
you
my
know?
God! It's just do better. Do better than this.
Just have NHL players. Like at the Hall of Fame ceremonies for the NFL, they just have players go up and introduce
them. In fairness, for half of it, they did. As I said, half of the NHL awards was like, you know, a lot of
the Parkland thing was great. The Humboldt thing was great.
But they feel they have to jam this part of it in there. And you're like, listen, if you're going to get Wonder Woman from 1980, and that's like the biggest star you're going to get, don't bring anybody. Because it just looks bad. I mean, would you have to say
you're playing this stuff, and Linda Carter seems like the biggest star in the world.
She's a megastar compared to everybody else.
And they present the Mark Messier Leadership Award, the stars of the hit Canadian comedy, Letterkenny, Andrew Herr, and Dylan Playfair.
I mean, I once again, I have no idea. And then
at
they
least
did,
they're
like,
not on YouTube.
Well, I mean, they're not the YouTube sensation. I want to find out how many hits that YouTube guy gets, or those two guys who came out earlier.
I don't care if it's 2 billion. Who cares? It's a major awards show. All right, and finally, Rich, I have something that's 10 seconds.
Okay, well, this is kid that they kept bringing out there, who, by the way, the same kid was last year on the NHL awards. And was doing this really cute thing, like, you know, like, oh, he's so cute, asking crazy questions to these hockey players. And he tosses it to, listen, now this is legitimately the biggest star of the night. And Fred, I know that you're going to get a little excited because you like what this guy does, not just on the screen, but when he's rocking out with a band on stage.
Oh, boy.
Next up, we've got a Chicago Blackhawks and NHL fan, Jim Belushi.
Okay, all right. He's going to honk on the Bobo.
He played music?
No, he didn't play music, which he should have. He was drunk, though.
Oh, was he really? Yeah, I missed this part of it.
Yeah, I should probably pull some of it. It was kind of funny.
There's a lot of drunk people at the NHL Awards. Like those two, like, housewives. The
Martin St. Louis girls, right?
Yeah. They were obviously drunk.
Okay, stop. So somebody just emailed me and said, yeah, these guys, the comedians who are up there, they're really funny and they're very popular on YouTube. I clicked on the video they sent me. They chose this. So this is probably the one that they thought was the best. And it's got 7,000 views.
Oh, boy.
They got a YouTube person with 7,000 views is like one of the biggest people that they've got there.
Oh, boy.
I mean, listen, it's no.
I'm Darcy Oak and I am a magician.
I can't believe he screwed up a trick.
Dude, I mean, badly.
A card trick.
He did three tricks. One was one where you get into this thing and then he turned into that little kid. Like you put Gary Bettman into some booth and it turned into a kid, but you can completely tell where the mirrors were and it just spun around and the kid was in there. I mean, these are like the worst tricks ever. And then he messed up a card trick and then he did another card trick on stage.
I'm going to saw this lady in half.
I mean, it's all what you've seen before, too. Oh, the NHL award. They're the best. It really is the best.
Look at, I put this quarter in this tap tap. Now it's a nickel.
Jim Belushi.
Doing some sweet blues.
The stars of the hit Canadian comedy, Letterkenny, Andrew Herr, and Dylan Playfair.
At least they didn't have a puppet.
Well, they did, as a matter of fact.
Well, so, in the end, the Bruins got shut out. Of course, you didn't have Bruce Cassidy. Bruce Cassidy came in second. The Selke Award, Patrice came in third. Brad Marchand, 10th place for the Selke. It was kind of interesting.
I'm surprised he didn't win the Lady Bing. Jeff Goodman is going to join us. There's some chatter about the Celtics moving up in the draft.
Want to stay connected to Boston sports?
Who do you root for?
Connect with Boston's home for sports online. 98.5 thesportshub.com. We all have our morning routine.
The kids ain't going to learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie. Let's go. The Sports Hub was disappointed because I told my wife about the raccoon and now she's freaking out and calling animal control.
So you don't get a chance to take care of this yourself?
We'll see.
All right.
See when animal control shows up. Not positive. I mean, they better move with the quickness or else there's going to be bludgeoning.
You could have saved yourself some rabies.
Mm.
Some potential.
The only
blood
thing
spray
is the guy
rabies.
Said that it could leap 3 feet out of the thing.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah, I don't like that. Jeff Goodman is a columnist for the Stadium, and he is obviously a savant when it comes to all things NFL draft,
NBA draft.
Whatever I'm talking about.
Yeah, the third track.
I'm a little
distracted by the raccoon in your thing.
Yeah,
I understand.
Sure. Yeah, right. I'm a little upset that about the cruel raccoon situation. Mr. Goodman, hello, sir.
How are you guys?
Good.
Disappointment.
For Fred, he was looking forward to taking care of the raccoon by himself, but unfortunately there's going to be animal control that's going to do it for him. So you can feel his pain, can't you, Jeff?
I wouldn't want to deal with that. So, I would call animal control, too, and get the hell out of there.
Well, some of us are men, and so
see, I'm the same way. I would have kicked.
I guess I'm not. I guess I fall into the other category.
Well, Jeff, there is a little bit of interesting news last night. It's not even news, but it's a rumor that seems to be getting a lot of heat as far as the Celtics, and it looks like there is word that they might be trying to move up even as far as up to the top four. In this draft tonight, first of all, do you see Danny Ainge doing that? And second of all, if that's the case, is Mo Bamba the guy that they're eyeing?
Never say never with Danny, mm-hmm. Number one, right? I mean, we've learned that. You never say never. But I just don't see really a scenario where you're not going to have to give up a lot to move up into that four range. And do you really want to do that at this point? You know, to me, you're not trading Tatum, he's off limits completely. You're not trading Kyrie. Hayward's coming back off a major injury. So the one guy you could probably move is Jaylen Brown. And I don't know. I just think if you're going to move Jaylen Brown, aren't you going to get Kawhi Leonard or
yeah.
a proven guy?
Well,
sure. You're not rolling the dice to get Mo Bamba. And I love Mo Bamba. Love him. Okay. Like he is what they need. You know, he's long. He runs the court. He blocks shots. He rebounds. He's not really very good offensively yet. He could be decent. He's an awesome kid. Like, could have went to Harvard maybe. Like, awesome. He's the one kid through the interviews that every NBA team was blown away by because, again, you can talk to him. It's like talking to an adult. But you're not trading Jaylen Brown for Mo Bamba.
But, Jeff, the Celtics theoretically could have four first-round picks next year, and that Sacramento pick is only number one protected. Do you think they can throw all those first-round picks at the problem and either Memphis or Atlanta would bite?
Here's the thing I'll say about next year's draft is it's not very strong at the top, number one. Number two, I don't think you're going to get that Memphis pick probably isn't going to be in play next year because it's got to be – they can't be in the top nine. Memphis is going to be in the top nine next year. I mean, they're going to be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers, it's top 15, I think 14 protected.
Yeah.
So, really, Sacramento is the one that's in play next year. And, again, the top of the draft isn't nearly as strong next year as it is this year. It's considered a very weak draft. There's guys, Cam Reddish, RJ Barrett, who are both going to Duke this year, are probably considered one and two. And they're not. They'd go probably in this draft like five or six. So I don't think that Sacramento pick has as much value today as people think. I think if you're Danny Ainge, you're waiting. You're waiting till these guys play next year and people hopefully start to fall in love with them a little bit more. And then you're getting more value for that Sacramento pick if you want to trade it next year. The only way I would trade it is in a deal. I would do the trade of Jaylen Brown, the Sacramento pick, Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart. I would give it all for Kawhi Leonard if I knew Kawhi Leonard was going to sign here long term.
Okay, well, let's talk about that, because with the Kawhi Leonard, we're now hearing that he is straight up telling teams, or basically his attitude is that it doesn't matter who he signs with or who he gets traded to, he is going to go to L.A. the year after that. Is there a situation that you see that Danny Ainge would be willing to give up Jaylen Brown? I know that that's the name that's been thrown out there. Do you think that he would be willing to make that kind of deal to give up such a promising player like Jaylen Brown in order to get Kawhi Leonard for 1 year?
No chance, zero chance, zero. Why would he? I mean, Danny Ainge, you got the leverage right now. You don't have to do anything. You can sit pat and see how Kyrie and Hayward, when they come back, mesh with Tatum and Brown and Horford, and that's your starting five, and you got, oh, by the way, Rozier coming up the bench, who's going to lick his chops every time he sees a backup point guard, which is what he's going to play against most of the time when Kyrie comes back, because he'll be in that second unit. So, no, I don't think there's any chance he would do that trade without knowing that he's got, you know, a good shot of keeping Kawhi long-term, and I think he would. I think once Kawhi got here, he's pretty low maintenance. This year he's turned into being kind of high maintenance, or so that's kind of the look of it. But I think that's more the people around him. But Kawhi has always been about winning. He doesn't say a word. He just wants to work. And I got to figure this injury is more serious than people think.
All right,
and that's the other concern. That's the other concern with making a trade with Kawhi. You need to see the medical info.
Okay, is there a value at the bottom of the first round, and who do you like?
There is. There's a value, but, again, you're picking 27 for a reason. Usually 27, is a guy who's going to end up playing in the G League. There's some guys there. I wish Jerome Robinson was still going to be there, but he's not from Boston College. He's going to shoot up and probably go. He may go late lottery at this point.
How did that happen? Because he was not even on some draft boards. Even as a second rounder, certain draft boards, I know
in November and December, you look at the projected draft, he wouldn't have been taken, here he is at 14 or 15.
And I saw him a couple times in person, but it was against bad competition, and he was the best player on the court. What about him has made him shoot up boards?
Yeah, I mean, I had him at 20 to 30 most of the year, once he started getting going and shooting the ball well this year. But I think it's just, again, you see him in a different environment. People have a chance to talk to him. It's funny because there's a lot of draft analysts or people out there, college basketball or NBA analysts out there that say, well, they can't improve their draft stock through a workout or through interviews. They can, because, listen, NBA GMs are human. And when they start seeing Jerome Robinson, even if it's in a 1-0 workout or a 2-on-2 workout, and he makes every shot, or he picks things up really quickly, or he goes hard every play. And then you sit down with a kid, and he's super high character, very mature, terrific kid. And, again, they're human. So you can move up. And that's what's happened with Jerome Robinson. He's moved to the forefront of all the two guards right now, which there's a bunch of them from that 15 to 30 range. And Grayson Allen could be one of them that's on the board for the Celtics.
I was thinking they'd take Allen. But real quick, another guy who fits the same mold as Jerome Robinson is Dante DiVincenzo, who is a sixth man. Incredibly athletic, and had one outstanding game at the perfect time to have it. And all of a sudden, he's a late guy, a guy who could be taken in the late teens. What's going on there?
Yeah, but again, he had more than one really good game. I mean, I was there for another tournament game against Alabama. I think he had 18 in the first half. So it wasn't just one game. I mean, DiVincenzo had a good year. He's got the size. He's athletic. He can shoot the ball. He's tough. He's got a lot of factors that Danny Ainge really likes. The one thing he's got to really improve on is his decision-making with the ball, and I think that'll come in time. A lot of people kind of compare him, and it's not a bad comparison. This guy was a little more wild, was Bobby Sura back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I've never heard of him.
Florida State.
Okay, yep. I've never heard of him.
So again, can they get a guy at 27? Here's an interesting name. All right, I'm going to give you a very intriguing name. A guy that I probably wouldn't take in the top 30, but he deserves to be taken talent-wise on it, Mitchell Robinson. So this kid was supposed to go to Western Kentucky. He's 7 feet. He's like a Hassan Whiteside in terms of, he won't be the shot blocker Whiteside is, but he's kind of got some red flags about him. Supposed to go to Western Kentucky, disappears for a while, goes back to Western Kentucky, leaves again, signs with one agent, goes to another agent, 7 feet, can step out, can shoot it, can protect the rim. Again, talent-wise, he's probably a top 15 talent in this draft. And to me, the Celtics are the type of team that could take him. Danny Ainge could take a risk, and it doesn't matter if it doesn't pan out. And then you add the factor of maybe a guy like Al Horford could tutor him. He needs somebody that would live with this kid. The Celtics would have to hire somebody to live with him, to teach him how to do everything. He's a naive kid, but he's talented, and he can protect the rim and give him some of the things that you're looking at. Maybe if you trade up and you want Mo Bamba, Mitchell Robinson can give you some of those things.
I would imagine the academic challenges at Western Kentucky are pretty intense. Wagner from Michigan. Now, he looked fantastic in the tournament. He's slated, and what I'm looking at is going at 28. Why so low for him?
Just not a great athlete. You know, not a great athlete. Can he guard anybody? You know, he's kind of your face-up guy. I like him. I mean, I would, honestly, I think he should go late in the first round. I think, again, he's a guy that's got a defined skill set. He can really shoot the basketball, but a lot of people are worried more about his athleticism or lack thereof than anything else.
You know who I don't like? Is Jaren Jackson. Don't like him.
Why not?
He didn't really play. Izzo, you know, took him out of, you know, big situations. He had no confidence in him. It seemed like a lot of times. I'm not a big fan. He didn't stand out to me.
I'm not sure he's worthy of being the number 3 or 4 pick. I'm with you that I don't know what he'll be at the next level. The only thing I'll say in his defense is that front line just didn't fit well together. You had Jackson, Nick Gordon, Miles Bridges. They all played out of position.
Right.
Because Izzo tried to play his three best players up front, and there were, you know, Bridges was better suited at the 4, played him at the 3, so that way you had to play Jackson and Ward, all three of them together. It was kind of a mess.
Okay, the kid from Arizona being the? Are you comfortable with him being the number one pick?
Yeah, clear cut, the number one pick. To me, if Michael Porter had been healthy this year, hadn't suffered the back injury, I think he would have been looking at a closer call for the number one pick, because Porter's kind of the new age forward in the NBA, a la like a Jason Tatum type, a Kevin Durant type. Again, he's 6'10". He can really shoot the ball. He's got that kind of smoothness to him that Tatum has as well. But with that back injury, he's the biggest wild card early on here, because, you know, I've talked to GMs and people in organizations, and they'll all kind of tell me something different about what the doctors and the medical people have told them about drafting Michael Porter. Some have said, hey, you're good to go. We're not concerned about him. Others have said, no, 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 stay away.
Yeah, and it's weird the way he's handled this whole draft process as well.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff Goodman from Stadium. We appreciate it. We know you're friends with Wallach, which is odd, but nonetheless,
put that out there. We had to ruin the interview by putting that out there.
he says that you're very timely, though, getting back to text, which is a good quality to have.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm timely because I tore my knee up, so I'm sitting on the couch for the last month, so I have nothing to do. So that's timely in getting back in text.
All right. Well, Jeff Goodman, thank you so much for the time.
You got it, guys.
I appreciate it. Did you guys hear that story about how, you know, Kevin Knox, who was a forward for Kentucky, they were talking about questions that were asked at the NBA Combine, and one of them was, can you tell us about your child? And he goes, I don't have a child. And he goes, well, we've done some research, and we know that you have a child. Can you tell us about your child? And he goes, I swear I don't have one. And they go, we're just messing with you.
No, before that he said, okay, what's my child's name? And then that's when they had to say, we're just messing with
you. Is that what they admitted?
Yeah,
like he said, well, if you know who my child is and you've done all this research, what's his name? That's a great question.
And he goes, what's his name? And they're like, we're messing with you.
It's creative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's because, always nice.
Because no NBA player has ever been drafted while they had children.
It would affect everything.